Good. Ali Sperosas, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. It's Wednesday, March 20th, almost done. And I would like to call this meeting to order at 6:02 p.m. We can start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I take my I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, public comments. I think we had one. Valerie, is Valerie on? Okay, I think we had one. And it's from Emily Barrett Grassi, and she said she would like the board to address the ongoing bullying issues at Odyssey and explain what constitutes bullying. I have reported bullying several times and been told over and over it's unfounded and nothing happens. I see parents on the parent page constantly bringing up bullying and how no action is taken to protect the kids. Thank you for that. Just a reminder. We do take comments the first few minutes, public comments the first few minutes of all of our meetings. And you have 3 minutes that you would be able to say something, and you will not get a response from the board or the administration. But if there is further steps that need to be taken, you can be assured that we will take them. But it's not a give and take. It's pretty much you can make your comments, we'll take them in, and then we will. We'll get back to you with what's warranted. Any other public comments? Any other public comments? Okay. Next order of business is the approval of our. Do we have the last? We said we're still putting.
We have minutes from the February 9th.
February 9th special meeting. We've had an opportunity to review them. Did anyone have any changes or additions or corrections? The February 9th minutes? Changes, additions, or corrections? Changes, additions, or corrections? Okay.
I move we accept them as presented.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carried. How come I don't think they get there? Okay. Next, head of school report, Mr. Pappas. It's pretty, but.
Okay, is everything okay?
Yeah, no, you're good. They're just trying. I'm trying to get everybody up on the screen, but you can go ahead.
Trying to get to.
See, everybody, we're all just getting loaded. So. Not getting loaded. It is 130806. Just getting everything together.
So there's no echo now, right? So we're good.
Yeah, they can hear you.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. All right, so we are going to do today a little bit differently than normal. We'll do some of the head of school report highlights at the very end here, but what we'd like to start with today is a discussion on some of the stuff that we've been talking about for a long time so that we can give the proper time for any other discussion or questions, follow-up questions regarding our discussions about the proposed changes for next year. So pardon me for a moment while I get everything up here, because for whatever reason, my ear is just being a little bit difficult today.
What time of year?
Yeah, what it is.
Yeah, there's so nice.
Am I still on the call?
I hope
yeah.
so.
Yeah, I can still hear you.
All right, because it's disappeared from my screen too now. Okay, there we go. Sorry, guys. We're going to get there. Maybe I share it with somebody else. I did share it with the board a while ago. If it's, Ken, is it possible for you to put it up there? Because I'm definitely having technical difficulties.
We're having technical.
We're all having
technical. Please just entertain yourselves. We're having technical difficulties.
Your co-host, you should be able to share.
He's having a little bit.
It's just giving me trouble. I'm trying to.
Should I? Can I do something?
It's the proposed changes one.
All right.
I have access to it.
I think I got it. I think it's
open. It's on.
Bridget put it up. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll begin first with the stuff that is the most important, and that is we'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of the entire OCS community to proudly announce the following Teachers of the Year for Odyssey Charter School. In the lower school, it is Theodora McManus. Congratulations, kindergarten teacher. In the intermediate school, it is Zafiris Duvis. Congratulations. Middle school is Gregory Altmeyer, seventh to 12th grade. And in high school, it's Kelly Gimmel, 9th to 12th grade Yale Asian. And all four teachers will be advanced to the final round, which is to choose the OCS K-12 Teacher of the Year that will represent us at the state. We'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate this remarkable group of teachers who radiate our core values of Philotimo, our three pillars, and a commitment to excellence in education. We also want to thank everybody from our division nominees and to the winners in the nomination interview process this year, really underscored and reaffirmed the fact that our students have some of the best teachers and mentors in the world. So kudos to all of our Odyssey teachers for the fantastic work that they do and for really shining really bright, especially this year. So we're really proud of you. Thank you. Now to some of the proposed changes. This has been something that we've been talking about for a while as an organization. The first one, interestingly, is not necessarily very much of a proposed change. It's more of a re-highlight of things that we already have in place. Like, so the policy is already there, but it needs a little bit of cleaning up. So I just wanted to contextualize a little bit again for everybody in our public session over here. And we have fully transitioned away from COVID-19, where supply chain issues and access delays in production created undue stress on families. The uniform policy at Odyssey remained flexible. Now, as we move forward, we're looking forward to creating more consistency regarding our uniforms. Our current uniform policy was the policy that was in place already. And it's listed, I have a link to it. We're not gonna go over the entire uniform policy right now, but we'd like to put the highlights in that we're really looking at over here. So in grades K-5, the policy includes short sleeve and long sleeve polos embroidered with the school logo. And they're to be worn in navy blue, white, and light blue. That's and those specific colors are grades 3 to 5. Pants, shorts, skirts, and skorts are to be worn in khaki, navy blue for 3 to 5, or clear blue plaid for grades 3 to 5. Dresses in polo or Ponte style are available in the navy blue as well. A clear blue plaid jumper and a solid khaki and navy blue jumper are permitted and must be worn with the white blouse. This is just highlighting the policy. These are not sweeping changes at all. In our grades 6 to 12, short sleeved and long sleeved polos embroidered with the school logo are allowed in navy blue, light blue, gray, and white. Pants, shorts, skirts, and skorts are to be worn in khaki, navy blue, or clear blue plaid. For physical education, the plain solid navy blue mesh shorts and or plain solid navy blue sweatpants are the only bottoms permitted to wear. So this is a clarification point because gray was introduced into our kind of PE policy or whatever, PE, and it just, that's not correct. That's not the uniform that we have. That's not our policy that we have. So we are going to make sure that we are in code and only using the navy blue for that. This also includes spirit wear as well. In terms of shoes, there are some clarification points again, and we want to be very specific about the clarification points. Again, this policy is already in place. This is not something that we had to change.
The shoes must be closed-toed, hard-soled, and have a back. Sneakers, boots, and dress shoes are acceptable. Lower school students must be able to tie their own shoe or use Velcro. Now, UGG, be very clear, UGG slippers and Crocs are not permitted. They are not part of the uniform. That's the part of clarification that we really want to make sure that we are understanding. It's hard for the coverage of our insurance company because they insure us under the premise that we have our kids in closed-toe shoes. So sneakers are still part of it. The one thing that we're asking, I guess I got to highlight this for you all, and I'll highlight it right now. This is something that we did not find in the policy last year, so I'm going to highlight it now. We would like all socks to be a solid color. We're not saying that they have to be a specific color, but we want them to be a solid color. So no patterns or caricatures or anything like that on them. Just, you know, if you're wearing khaki pants and you want to wear brown socks, that's fantastic. But we don't need any of the other stuff on there that are not representative of what we were looking for intentionally in this policy. And then to provide a little bit more clarification, the school has expanded many of its programs, including professional work-based learning programs, highly developed food science programs, and competitive programs nationally, where students represent Odyssey Charter School, even in our sports. Our school welcomes many professionals, dignitaries, legislators, and visitors throughout the year, and so it is appropriate for us to meet the moment and dress the way we would dress if we were having these meetings in other settings. To meet the need and model the expectation of success for our students, the Odyssey administration is proposing the addition of a navy blazer to be worn on specific earmarked professional days like site visits, interview days, work-based learning opportunities, outside visibility days, competitions where students represent Odyssey, etc. These blazers can be purchased through our vendors or through any major retailer like Target, H&M, Zara, Walmart, Gap, Old Navy, and others. The school also will have loaners on site for any specific needs and will continue to fundraise and utilize the ALF fund for families that have demonstrated financial need. That's the proposal that we're putting forward for this blazer for next year. And that is not in the current policy. So I'm going to stop there and ask if there are any clarifications or anything else that we need to discuss. And then I'm going to ask for hopefully putting a call to vote on this one.
Just to confirm, and I think we talked about this in the workshop, but for the days when a blazer will be required for those on the phone, this will be communicated early and often and repetitively so parents aren't surprised, right?
That is the intention. We just don't have the calendar approved yet and all that stuff done, but yes, that's definitely going to be there.
Right, but in addition to the calendar, I'm just making sure throughout the year, like, we'll have it in the calendar and we'll have messaging so folks have a heads up again ahead of time.
And there will also be, obviously, impromptu visits from other folks or things that are not on the calendar, at which point we would still call professional days. You know, like if we win another YAS prize or something like that, then we'll have
to. Oh, for sure. For sure. But we'll communicate it early. Mm-hmm.
As early as we can.
Any other questions?
Yes, a question about the socks. I think we had discussed, like, not to extremely restrict the color of the socks, but at least to be in one of the colors of the uniform. Like if the student wears long pants, it may not be a big deal, but if they wear shorts and they have red socks, it doesn't exactly look good. If they could be any of the colors, like white, blue, light blue, khaki, brown, but not, you know, pink or orange or whatever.
Yeah, I think we did say it, Tom, that little thing.
I think we had discussed it.
I purposely backed off of that. Mm-hmm. I purposely backed off of it.
To show a little.
Yes.
Okay. But that, didn't you also say that there was some issues with some, as long as they're plain?
Patterns.
Okay, so as long as they're plain.
It's patterns.
We're allowing some sort of
graphic art on them, stuff like that.
So the socks have to be plain colored.
That's what, and I kind of backed off of the rest of it because if you, I don't know, like to be a little bit more of a fashionista. But I do agree that probably like a red or an orange doesn't make very much sense. I do know that pink sometimes is something because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We always see pink socks a lot during that time. That's going to be something. That's a decision. If you guys want me to add that, you can add that. I can put that caveat in there.
Well, like I said, when I was in private school, that was how we expressed ourselves. I understand you don't want to have any type of design on there because that could cause a little problem. But adding a little color, I don't have an issue with it. I don't know if anyone else has any issues for the sock color.
Only a discussion that I had with my wife yesterday was that it's the one area where the girls can have some fun.
Yeah.
With here, my kids can have some fun with their dress. They comply every other day or every day with the shirts with logos and, you know, everything else. But the socks are like kind of like the one area where
they express themselves.
Yeah.
That's how we wore with our uniforms. Yeah. Okay. Are you voting on this one now?
So since the blazer discussion is new to everyone who's not in this meeting, why don't we hold off on voting on that until the next meeting? Mm-hmm. It'll still give everybody plenty of time for September wear, but it'll give, we won't get instant parental backlash because we presented a new aspect to the uniform without any public comments, commentary, that kind of stuff. I think it's a fabulous idea, but I think we should just give it a month for the public to nosh on it and then come back to us next month. And I think solid color, any color socks is fine. Yeah, mine wouldn't work.
Yeah, I'm wearing my taco socks today. I can't.
No taco socks.
I'll leave those in the top drawer.
But had they been fuchsia, they would have been fine. That's just one person's opinion. Anyone else is free to make a motion if they want.
I would say for this and for all of the proposed changes, it would be, I think, in good spirit of us to hear about it here tonight, send the proposed drafts out to the community, let folks read through, know what we're doing, let them comment next meeting and vote next meeting.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to proceed. Okay, so we're going to discuss it and then we'll vote on the next meeting. So everyone is aware of it because some people weren't even at the meeting when we discussed it. So, okay, good.
Okay, our next one is the cell phone policy. A 2023 study conducted by Common Sense Media found that students receive a median of 237 phone notifications a day, 25% of which happen during the school day. While Odyssey already has rules in place to limit and fully remove cell phones in the classroom, it is difficult for teachers to enforce. Social media being used during the school day can become not only a distraction, but also toxic to the learning environment. Fights, embarrassing moments, or social drama can be shared out instantly online while we're checking 25% of our messages, of our 237 messages all day. Please refer to the research below from the United States Department of Education's 2019 research demonstrating a drastic reduction in bullying as a result of cell phone bans in schools. The research is consistent with our anecdotal data indicating cell phone use, including social media, recording, audio and video, et cetera, is a major contributor to the behavioral infractions that are step four or higher, like fighting, harassment, bullying, et cetera. It's easy for kids to take out their phone and zone out, which not only affects the student's attention span, but also their grades and mental health due to their dependence. In fact, the survey also links it to depression as well from the United States Department of Education. By banning cell phones and smartwatches at that, at Odyssey during the school day, we are maximizing instructional time, allowing students to become critical thinkers, and building a sense of camaraderie and social interaction, all of which directly align with our mission and vision. Smartwatches that connect to Wi-Fi and receive cell phone notifications are also included in this policy as an asterisk. Moving forward, we are proposing to remove the use of cell phones K-12 from the moment students enter a bus or are dropped off until the moment they are returned home by bus or picked up. Cell phones are the number one distractor in the school, have led to the distribution of inappropriate videos, are used to incite fights, and are the chief contributor to cyberbullying. The only exemptions would be for students who need devices to monitor medical conditions such as diabetes. A sample policy is below. Odyssey Charter School recognizes the importance of communication and collaboration and provides devices for students to be productive in the classroom. To keep the focus on academics and to reduce unnecessary distractions, the school enforces the following: cell phones and all mobile devices shall be turned off when entering school campus. Cell phones and all mobile devices shall be kept in the student's backpack or locker, not in clothing pockets. Cell phones and all mobile devices are not to be used in classrooms during lunch, common areas, or restrooms. Cell phones and all mobile devices can be turned back on once arrival with their guardian is complete, at car line, or at the completion of the bus route. Cell phones and all mobile devices are not allowed to be used during transition times or between classes. If a student needs to make an emergency call during the day, they are to come to the main office after receiving permission from the teacher to make the call. Students who, quote, forget are warned the first time. The second time, we will collect the phone for the students to pick up from the main office at the end of the day, and a parent guardian is notified. The third offense, the parent has to pick it up and the phone is not to be returned to school. Further escalations will result in potential loss of privileges and ability to re-enroll the following school year.
Does anyone have any questions? This is a lot to digest, and it was taken into deep consideration in presenting the cell phone policy. From the very first comment that we had about the bullying, we're doing everything we can to help the problem. We need to bring awareness to it. And right now, this is one of many steps that is going to be taken to alleviate this problem, to at least nip it as much as we can, and to get ourselves on, and the students on, a path forward without the distraction of the phones. So does the board have any other comments that they wanted to add?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Back in October, it was said at our October board meeting that middle school was starting a cell phone policy. Was that a pilot basically to this policy?
Yes.
And how have we seen success in pre versus post implementation of that policy in the middle school?
You see what you would typically see in the first rollout program like that. So a significant decrease in the use of cell phones, and an increase in engagement, with a focus more on your 10% students or 5% who struggle with compliance. And because it's not a policy, because in order for it to be a policy, it needs to go through the board and be a board approved policy. That's a guideline. We didn't have the meat to be able to enforce the other parts of it that would be necessary for us to really eradicate them once and for all.
Sure.
Which is what we learned and then put in here, step one, step two, step three, step four, very specifically, as a result of that kind of program.
Sure. So to that end, how much does this proposed policy differ from what was piloted in the middle school in October, being able to enforce it?
Yeah, the progressive part of it is one of the biggest differences that we have right now in it. It's a little bit clearer because we spent a little bit of time kind of making sure that we over articulated what the expectation was, where it was a little bit softer in that. For example, it says the mobile phone devices shall be turned off. It's just that those words, it's important to add those little words in there, or specifically where they need to be located, and not on your person, but in your backpack. And these are all the things that we learned through trying to pilot this in the middle school. how specific we had to be in order for us to get what we want. And then we need more clarity on the bus as well. And which is now we said we're going to go ahead and do this from the moment you step on a bus to the moment you get off of the bus. We're going to go ahead and enforce this policy.
Sure. Yeah. You may want to consider powered off as opposed to turned off, because I may be slick enough to say, well, I turned the ringer off.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. Just I mean, we can change that. Right.
Make it.
Good idea.
Even more specific. But I was a fan of it then. I'm a fan of it now. Thank you.
Any other board members have any comments?
You didn't run into any insurmountable parental pushback on?
No, actually not. Mostly parental support. And again, to Anna Maria's point, it's the number one driver of the bullying in school. Anything that we have that comes to us as an investigation for bullying, almost every time we have to deal with something that has to do with cell phone, social media, or a combination of all of them. And a lot of the problem also is that it also puts a lot of pressure on the school to manage social media, which is not something that's feasible for a school to do, manage everybody's social media accounts. So at least if we have a very clear pathway that when we're here under these terms, and this is what we're here to do, and these are the expectations for us when we're here, it takes away a lot of the burden of having to try to even mitigate these kind of bullying investigations that are happening in the middle of the night most of the time and really aren't happening here in school anyway.
And just to sound like a boomer, you can't really cyber bully during the day if you can't cyber.
Well, that's one of the points I made. Like when, you know, there was bullying when I was in school ages ago, but the difference is that, you know, you come to school and it was it was person to person. You knew who your bully was. And you went home and you had a break from it. There's none of that now with the phones. And we need to at least give the students some relief while they're in school if we can.
So like the change to the dress code, we'll pen this till next month for a vote.
Yeah, I think what we're going to do is we're going to review everything this month. And then so we can all digest and make sure that we have all of our questions in. And then next month we'll bring it up for approval.
Okay, the next thing is called Family Filotimo to OCS. Successful education requires a commitment of all parties, collaboration for the common good of our students. We would like to have policies that improve our school community, encourage family involvement, model the vision of being a Filotimo school with the spirit of giving without expecting anything in return. As such, we are proposing a 10-hour per family volunteer contribution, which would provide tremendous support for the implementation of our programs and over 20,000 person hours community service. The organization has identified areas that really need support, including sporting events, graduations, classroom supports, transitions, traffic control, front office support, field trip volunteers, evening and weekend fundraisers, and cultural assemblies and events throughout the year. Widespread family involvement positively impacts the culture of the school and aligns directly with our mantra of living Filotimo since 2006. In terms of implementation, our leadership team is crafting a document of all the areas where volunteer support is needed for us to successfully run our programs. OCS administration proposes when parents and families sign the code of conduct, they also sign acknowledgement of the volunteer opportunities and expectations from each family in order for us to be able to become sustainable. This becomes particularly important as our facilities continue to expand and Odyssey will be managing a multi-sport complex, a gymnasium, and a plethora of community events.
Good. And again, this is something I think that came up because there are many schools who, we don't have a tuition. We still have expenses. We still have ways that we need to meet our budgets. By having just a few volunteer hours from parents, can save us a lot of money, and we can apply those funds elsewhere. So it's good interaction, it's good engagement for the parents to see what our school does and how our school is involved. And I think the fact that we're going to be offering it, whatever your talents are, if you're good in IT, if you're good at web design, if you're good at cleaning a desk, whatever it is, we'll take the time. And I think we're also going to be providing suggestions as to where you can offer your time. So if you want to come and help out in a homeroom or a classroom, we'll take that as well. Any other comments?
I have a question. How is that going to be tracked? And what is happening when a family just decides not to do it, even though that they signed the code of conduct? What is being enforced with that, and how do you want to know who is volunteering and who's not?
So there's a document being created, which is what I mentioned a little bit earlier. There's a document being created that will give you all of the volunteer opportunities that we have, and then in the form of almost like what maybe you've heard of a sign-up genius, where you are able to volunteer for things depending on the level of volunteer. Obviously, in some situations, if you're going to be a classroom parent, then you probably need to, we'll probably put you through our background check system. But if you're doing like an after school event, like selling concessions at a sporting event, it wouldn't be quite the same. So in terms of the second part of your question, which has to do with how are we enforcing it, we would like to believe at Odyssey Charter School that if you're signing up to be a part of this organization and part of our family community over here, that you're buying into the mantra of the school, which is to be piloti mi anthropi. And that means that we are doing things for the right reasons without asking anything in return. So to make the answer short, there are no repercussions to not doing it, but it is our hope and our expectation that we are mutual partners in the education of our students. And that's and by setting an example like that, and then having parents sign up, we hope that that positive example will be enough to get more people on board and really drive our culture forward.
I think, Kristen, what the whole purpose behind this is just to get people engaged, to realize that there are opportunities, and hope that that's going to spread.
Okay, I'm all for it. I just was just wondering.
Yeah, we don't want to do something that we're trying to punish people or something like that. We just want to set an example for what positive culture should look like in our school.
And in addition to the philoptimo that the individual families would receive from throwing in their shoulder to help, it's still an opportunity to donate about $250,000 worth of effort into making our school better. You know, if we have to pay somebody to run the school scoreboard, instead now somebody's volunteering, then that's money we're saving and can be used to better direct and help the kids.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Absolutely, yeah. Correct.
So 10 hours per family, that would almost cover a roof, right, Jeff?
Get the rugs clean.
I will work.
I mean, not that I'm suggesting parents volunteer for roofing.
Hey, but if we have any.
But roofing's not going to be on the sign up genius?
That's a good question. I hadn't thought of putting roofing on the sign up genius.
maybe painting would be like within the insurance policy. Roofing,
rug cleaning.
That might be.
Landscaping.
I mean, roofing is probably right on par with wearing Crocs, I would say. So.
Unboxing.
Does anyone else have any comments that they want to add?
No.
Any other board members have any other comments they want to add? Good. Great. Next.
Okay. Our next one is the calendar.
This one we will.
So the calendar, the proposed calendar for 2024-25 is included herein. It's been shared with you, Juliana did share it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Although most districts have not released their calendars, Colonial has released theirs. And we did do a quick analysis of that one. As a comparison, I also reached out to our charter network to find out where other folks are on specific components of the calendar. So a couple of considerations. First of all, I would like to say very, very publicly and clearly that all of our calendars always meet the minutes requirements for carding units at the high school and all the requirements that are necessary for us to be in compliance with graduation in the state of Delaware. So any such assertions to the opposite would be inaccurate because our calendars are approved by the state after they're approved by the board. So this is not an issue of any minutes or stuff like that. This is more about any other things that we would want to talk about in terms of factors that go into it. Another consideration that I'd like to really bring shed to light over here is that we don't sit in a silo and make a calendar. There's people from all levels of stakeholders that are on this calendar committee, including teachers on our staff and parents and families. And so when we propose the calendar, it is not something that was done in a silo somewhere in a vacuum. And throughout the year, we accept feedback on the calendars and we try to improve things. This year's calendar includes significant feedback that was given to us about what we did. But I also would like to take this opportunity and highlight just how much most of the feedback that we have received has been how much our calendar is appreciated. I will speak specifically to families who have come up to me and said, you have the most inclusive calendar of any public school that we've ever been to. Specifically as it relates to the way that we celebrate the diversity in our groups, in our subgroups of people that we serve, some of the holidays that we have on the calendars, they're not seen in other organizations. There's also a lot of consideration made into studying what educational research has shown leads to higher teacher retention. Specifically, what I mean to that is that there are the way that the teacher year goes, there are peaks and valleys, and I can really quickly summarize. When the school year begins, everybody's at really, really high. And then as the school year progresses, you have a long stretch of about 8 weeks after the beginning of the school year. And what you see happening is that generally speaking, people start to wear down a little bit by the time they hit October-ish or so. So as we're thinking about all of the different considerations, including the holidays, including the professional developments that we have to do, including all of the different aspects of compliance that we have to deal with, we try to very strategically include times that will allow for our teachers to recover and recuperate, which helps soften the bottom that we all get to when we kind of get to the end of that. You're also seeing that again right now. The January to March window has a similar thing that occurs. You come back from the winter break, everybody's jazzed up to start again. You have a big eight-week run again, and you're not feeling so good around this time of year right now. And then you get to kind of back the end and everybody gets excited again because it's graduations and the summertime and the birds are chirping and the sun's out and things just feel a lot better. So these are natural cycles in the teacher cycle. And I was a teacher all the way until last year. So I'm speaking from my own personal experience as well in this. So we were very strategic in the way that we place things on the calendar. So they don't just serve one purpose, they serve several purposes. I will also draw attention to the fact that every year that we do a calendar, we always look at public school calendars, taking into consideration what families that could have students in other schools have to deal with so that we can carry over that. In considerations for this year, what we're proposing in terms of enhancements is we increase the amount of professional development days at the beginning of the year. This is also coming from feedback to us to make sure that our teachers feel prepared when they go into the classroom. So that's why we have done that. And this allows us more time to build a whole school community, set the vision for the year, and provide the required training for new programs with our staff. And this, again, was per feedback from staff and teachers. We also increased the number of new teacher orientation days, which aligns with the new Delaware Comprehensive Induction Program, which is designed to support and retain our new teachers throughout the school year. We're already planning our orientation and look forward to welcoming the new staff to our school next year. That does help address a little bit of some questions that we heard also about our report date back for teachers. Again, there are many, many considerations that go into this, and it's not just some random date that's picked on a calendar, but rather very strategically chosen because of all the different compliance things that we have to do and all the preparation that we need to do to get things ready. Now, due to how the calendar falls this particular year, we are recommending starting after Labor Day because Labor Day is early this year. We would follow the same rollout that we did in the previous years, K 3, 6, 9, and 12. So would be starting on Tuesday, September 3rd. All remaining grades would be starting on Wednesday, September 4th. To kick off the year and to maintain high attendance for the event, we plan on hosting our Back to School Bash that Thursday, September 5th as well. This also comes from our own data research that we did, which shows that a lot of families actually do not return back until after Labor Day. This puts an undue strain on the school. Number one, because it disrupts the programming because we don't have all the students in the classrooms. And number two, it doesn't allow us to re-engage conversations about what we need to do about enrollment, staffing, professional aides that we have to put in classrooms, bus routes. It's a major disruption when you don't have kids at school. So we are hoping that by being a little bit more sensitive to the Labor Day holiday, that we are going to get a better outcome in terms of attendance as well. The Delaware Department of Education hosts a Fall State PD Day each year, typically on a Friday in October. This year it happens to be on Tuesday, September 10th. All teachers will be participating in a variety of training across the state. That is another consideration that we had to put into the calendar as we planned it out. Next year, we also have to deal with an election day, and since it is a national election, it is required for state of Delaware schools to be closed on national election days per Delaware Department of Education. We added a step-up day of grade 5 and grade 8, and you all know how well that went. You heard the feedback about how well that went. And so part of this stuff is as we continue to build culture through our programs, it's going to lead to there to be other days that are disruptive to what maybe another school is doing. But overall, it's very beneficial to our community and have helped. It's almost like having open houses throughout the year to make sure that we are celebrating our community and we're raising awareness for what we're doing and maintaining the sustainability of the organization. These dates are always lined up close to the choice window as well. And that is intentional. So students in grades 6, 7, and 9 to 12 will be asynchronous on those days when we do this now. Due to how the New Year's Day falls this year, we extended our winter break through January 5th. All 10-month staff and students return on Monday, January 6th. Colonial is also following the exact same calendar. I would also like to say that this is also coming from feedback from our stakeholders. Especially those that both at the parent and student level and at the staff level, who we have a lot of families that travel overseas over the holidays. And when your holiday is only 10 days, you don't go. And so what ended up happening to us this year is we had a lot of families who, when they did decide to go, they came back to school late. Once again, that causes tremendous disruptions to the schedule and really doesn't allow for the program to move forward when we have large amounts of people that are out because they're traveling. It also pays service to a lot of our staff that are international teachers that need to travel to their homelands for the holidays. And this allows for them to be able to do that comfortably and return to work on time. And that was the feedback that we have received. And the last piece of feedback is just the social emotional component on that part. All of us collectively, when we showed up here on, what was that, January 3rd, we felt like we ran into a brick wall. I think it was the second. It was literally January 2nd when we came back, and we all felt like, what in the world just happened to us? You can't go from New Year's Day and just roll back into school like that, and you don't expect that out of your kids. I wouldn't expect that out of the adults either. So I felt that was a misstep last year, and so we are making a correction that would serve the cultural needs of the organization. All academic staff we'll be attending the ChartersCon on Friday, March 14th, which is a professional development day. This took place in February of this calendar. And we also decreased the amount of professional development for teachers at the end of the year. We found it more beneficial to include it at the beginning of the year instead of at the end of the year. That's a very important consideration, because if we did it differently, then we'd have to add school days at the end of the year. And I know that people do not really like to add school days at the end of the year. Enhancements we're making to the asynchronous days. We did hear feedback from folks who may have felt that the asynchronous days were not valuable to their students. So we would like to add a little bit of insight on that. Georgia, do you want? We'd like to add some insight on that one. A couple of things that we'd like to alter a little bit is number one, and we're piloting it this year, it seems to be working well. So we want to kind of move this all the way across. Opening up the online assignments for asynchronous days earlier, 48 hours prior, as a policy of the school. For those students who complete work using their Chromebooks, or they don't have Chromebooks at home, or they don't have access to internet, they can be done ahead of time. This is also for the families who may want to do something else with their time, right? Once they're done with their asynchronous work. This allows for students to communicate with their teachers as well. It allows for tutoring to occur if they need support, but also provides flexibility in the timeline. In the time frame, the work is completed, which allows the gift of time to be returned back to our families. Odyssey's proposed schedule actually includes more instructional minutes than other proposed schedules, but also allows for us to meet the professional development needs of the organization. So again, this goes back to my first point. Our instructional minutes are actually more. So it really isn't about days, it's about instructional minutes. And so you could say that X school has 172 days, but if they're not meeting for the same amount of minutes, that doesn't have the same impact. So it's really about total instructional minutes that we have, and ours exceeds as a result of the way that we have created the schedule. On top of that, like we said, it helps us to meet our professional development needs that we want to front load as an organization. It aligns with the needs of our teachers and staff that we've talked about, a couple of those different components right now. One of them being, you know, having these specific days that we have for professional development, that we have for the grading days that we do, the things of that nature, and provide bona fide opportunities for our students to engage in a virtual platform, keeping us up to date and prepared for any unforeseen, unexpected, sudden changes to learning environment. We just went through that. So I wouldn't want to completely eradicate ourselves from having these kind of opportunities to do a little bit of self-study, a little bit of kind of research-based learnings, and to do some reinforcement time. Another thing that really wasn't added on here is that typically what we can do in these times as well is students can catch up on work during asynchronous days. So it really is a beneficial time, although some folks may not be using that benefit the way it was intended to be. That's what I wrote next. But these days also provide student opportunities to submit missing assignments. Now, one thing that we got is feedback that we really are going to work through this year is that we are also working through a process to offer pay for childcare through our aftercare program on these days to help support families and staff that may be struggling with the schedules, work balance, et cetera. So to be clear, on asynchronous days, we would be offering childcare for our staff, families, and the families that are students, our student families as well. So that would help eradicate people's concerns about their work schedules or if our school doesn't necessarily align with the other one, because again, we are looking at a schedule that benefits driving the entire culture of our organization. We don't just look at things in a silo in one specific aspect. And so when I front loaded all of those considerations that I talked about building the culture of the school, building the mission and visions, providing the correct professional development, front loading the professional development, making sure that attendance stays high, you know, all of these different components, it makes a lot more sense why the schedule is the way that it is and why we're proposing it this way. An added consideration for us is that if two or more teachers are out of a building, it poses an operational burden for the school. By providing the breaks for not only our students, but our staff members, it mitigates the impact of added staff absences. So that may seem like it may seem rather trivial, but just to give you an idea, last month our sub bill was the largest one that we've ever had. It's not a coincidence that we're at the end of March, right before the break. This is when the fatigue sets in, and this is how it happens. So the research absolutely supports very much the way that we designed this calendar.
Very well thought out. Does anyone have any questions?
I have a question. You mentioned a few times like the teacher feedback or input that was being put in the calendar. I guess I'm curious, like, how is that being collected? How is that? Is it just through, I guess, like teacher complaints, teacher like reaching out one-on-one or just the sub data? How are teachers like being asked, I guess, their opinion on the calendar or being included in the committee?
So there, we have the head of the CBA, Katie Manley is one of our committee members that's on there. And so, and each building has their own liaison as well. So the liaisons will report back to the to Katie Manley, and Katie Manley will bring these things to us as well on that one. In addition to having a lot of staff members on there with kids here as well and other considerations. So yeah, the calendar committee has members that have been traditionally from all of those different aspects. And yes, yes, from teacher complaints and feedback and emails and all of that stuff as well. But we definitely definitely make sure that, it goes through the representatives of our teachers union as well.
How many asynchronous days are there?
Six. And I reached out earlier today to the charter network, and there are some institutions that have 20.
Global warming aside, how many snow days are built in?
We don't actually build in snow days anymore because of the fact that asynchronous days can exist. It allows you to move virtual again if that happens. Summer.
So, yeah. So in the same vein as the question posed earlier about collecting the teacher feedback, how was feedback collected from parents?
It's collected through our surveys, and then we also have parents at our parent council.
Right. Okay. Right.
And we have parents in our staff too. Yeah. Even the other people.
That's fair.
Juliana's on that committee. She has kids here. You know. Who else has kids?
Katie
Manley has kids here as well.
Demetra and Matt were on that committee.
Yeah, Demetra and Matt were on that committee as well.
So this is Aaron, sorry, driving, but I can tell this was really thought out. So I really appreciate the work in especially rethinking asynchronous days, both in like assignment of work and childcare and things like that. And I can also see how this is very beneficial for families who do take longer trips in some of the breaks and who celebrate holidays that may not be honored in other jurisdictions. I do want to acknowledge, I think, as a parent, and I think some other folks will feel this too, it is a little tough with kind of a day here, a day there, to both get kids into routine and to get yourself and your own schedules into routine. That said, it seems like the way that schools have to be kind of conducted to be able to meet all of the needs of students and staff from our attention program is just fundamentally different than the way it was when many of us were younger. So I just want to acknowledge that the schedule is very well thought out. It is very beneficial in some instances, and it will have some instances where it's going to be tough for some folks in the community. I still am supportive of it, but I think it's important for us to just acknowledge that it's not great all the time for everyone.
Yeah, I'd like to echo Aaron's sentiments on that one. Again, agreed. It's obvious that a lot of effort, a lot of care was taken in putting together the calendar. And I've been feeling and hearing through various channels similar sentiments about we can see the value to the school and to the teachers for the asynchronous days, but it does get to be burdensome, especially when we're also looking at a calendar that is also very culturally inclusive. When we are taking so many holidays, it does feel like there's an abbreviated week almost every week. And the routines, kids need routines. I'm no exception. I need routines. but also, there's been some feedback that I've received about concerns in terms of I get the instructional minutes, knowing that there's more instructional minutes with our calendar versus, you know, total number of days, that is helpful. However, there's some direct experience and some direct feedback that I've received about things that seem to fall by the wayside on the asynchronous day weeks. For example, receiving at the beginning of the week a list of spelling words, but there's an asynchronous day on Friday and that spelling test never happens. Or not receiving vocab or spelling altogether, well, because we have both a holiday and an asynchronous day in the same week, or two weeks back to back. So it does sometimes present itself as if things are falling by the wayside for the sake of asynchronous time, which, barring the merits that have already been expressed, still feels like a day that the kids are not being taught. Because it is asynchronous, it is iReady, it is, I've been a parent at OCS, we're going on fifth year now, and so I don't have any experience from before the pandemic, except that we had 4 months, we had the whole fall of kids in school, just as usual. And then asynchronous was a product of the cohorts and trying to get kids back in school, which was great. It was a great opportunity, you know, foray to kind of get the kids back into school. And we've seen the great results of having the kids back in school. So sometimes I think we wonder, are these asynchronous days ever going to go away and we just have more days of school where the kids are being instructed, where there is consistency, where there is a routine that we're able to really follow and stick to. So, Aaron had expressed, you know, it's clear that there are some requirements of the teachers in terms of professional development days, and you have to fit them in there somewhere. But I'm looking at the calendar. You mentioned the January through March. You get into that, you need that seventh inning stretch, so to speak, but I only count 4 full weeks of school between the holidays and the asynchronous days and conferences between return from winter break and beginning of April. So I, as a parent, I look at that and I'm like, oh my goodness, I've got all of these long weekends that I have to plan for. Thankfully, I get to plan for them well in advance because we have such a great, well-articulated calendar that we stick to. So it does provide the opportunity to plan ahead for that. But it also feels, you know, kind of a little bit of a drag as well.
I will say that most of the calendars that we looked at have almost exactly the same amount of days as we do. So we're not short on days either. We aren't it's not like we're writing longer schedules to make shorter days. In fact, didn't we add 5 days to the academic calendar this year? I think we did. So on top of that, we added 5 academic days to it. And I think the longest calendar that I saw was 171, and we're 170 with a longer day. So we did also take that feedback and we did incorporate that into this calendar as well.
Okay.
It's just, it is, I think, along what Aaron said, there are a lot of different requirements and considerations now, and it's quite a task to put a calendar together. Quite a task, but it's this is the most inclusive calendar that we've made, and the more inclusive that you make it, the more considerations that you have. The more considerations that you have, the more there's going to have to be a give and take in other areas in order to put those considerations into the forefront. I wish I had a better answer than that, but that's really where we stand right now.
Okay.
As an org, like I said, we can add 4 weeks to school, but you're right. It's intentional to go from January to March and have only 4 weeks at a time. That's intentional. Because when we do 8 weeks at a time, the behaviors in school ramp up a lot. We have a lot of
difficulties running the program properly. So we're trying to create situations as, I don't know, this is probably part of large district rotation studies that I'm not a part of. With attention spans continuing to go down, intolerance levels going down at record rates and depression rates going up at record rates, it's not the same, it's not the same students that we're teaching anymore. And I don't know if that's all a result of COVID or not, but with all of these considerations, we try everything that we can to make sure that we stay relevant, if that makes sense.
Well, I hold on to hope that with the reduced availability of devices, that attention spans will start going up.
That's my hope as well. I really, you know, that particular part of the policy, I have to say that if I had to dig my heels in one area and say, this is the number one lever that I'd like to pull as the head of school, the Odyssey Charter, it is that one.
I'll dig my heels in with you on that one.
I just truly believe that it is the absolute demise of society. If we don't do something about it, and we have the ability to do something about it and be different and do something right, then we are contributing to the acceleration of this demise.
Does anybody else have any comments regarding the calendar? We will be taking a vote on the calendar tonight so they can get that moving. So if you have anything to say, this is the time to say it. Any more discussion? Okay, want to entertain a motion?
Motion to
one for 24-25. Mm-hmm. Second. Do I have a second?
I'll second. Do I hear a second? Zarin.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Hearing none, motion has been carried. The calendar is moving forward as set forth. Thank you for all those who put the effort into it. Like I said, it's very comprehensive, a lot of detail, and we asked for a lot too, back and forth in the preparation of it. So thank you all. What else?
Mm-hmm. So what I wanted, obviously that took a lot of time, and we knew it was gonna take a lot of time, and we knew that those were important factors to consider for the day. So I suppose what I'm gonna say now is that I sent over the report. We can review the head of school's report for the various different parts, but I wanna get to the part that the board, we need approvals on.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And then the other stuff is, I announced the big thing about all of the teachers of the year and stuff like that. The rest of it's kind of like, we're moving ahead, we're moving forward.
Mr. Poplin, I apologize.
Hold on.
I do have a student that I want to recognize, and he is on.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Ashley.
Can we put the board report up?
That may be a challenge.
Okay, I can pull it up on my end, sorry. Give me 1 second.
Being a little bit difficult.
No, it's fine. I believe Arnav is on. It looks like he is. Arnav, if you are here, we wanted to recognize you.
I see him on there. He's on there.
Yeah. So Arnav, we wanted
to see you.
I heard him for a second.
He came on for a second.
Oh, there he is. Awesome. So we just wanted to extend a hearty congratulations to our current junior, Arnav Tayuzavi, who was recently named a Carson Scholar. The Carson Scholars Program is a prestigious program that recognizes high school students who demonstrate the highest levels of academic achievement, integrity, and civic and social engagement. Arnav is our first ever Carson Scholar, so we will be receiving a like a Carson Scholar award that we will display proudly in our awards cabinet in honor of Arnav, and it will have Arnav's name on it as the first Carson Scholar, and any future Carson Scholars that we have at Odyssey will be added to that award. So we really wanted to highlight Arnav for this incredible achievement, and congratulations.
Thank you, Ms.
Lipson. I know Mr. Papas has some personal experience with the award as well, so he can share with that. But we're really proud of you. So congratulations.
Harris is a Carson Scholar as well.
And I don't know if we can have Arnav tell us a little bit of how he was awarded that award, that scholarship. Arnav, do you have a couple words you can tell us what you were doing that so academically and socially engaged?
Yeah, so I mainly talked about my nonprofit that I founded that introduces or that aims to bridge the gender gap in STEM. And recently we've been making a very large impact in Delaware and in the United States. That's mainly what I talked about in my essays for the scholarship. And yeah, I think that played like the biggest role, as well as like a recent TED talk I've done that exposed me to like a whole world of new like opportunities and like perspectives. So yeah.
Well, fabulous. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. I will.
Arnav, are you going to tell them just a quick sentence about the TED Talk, the role of AI moving forward?
Sure. So like, you want me to describe the TED Talk or just?
Just quickly. Let's do it. You know how when you practice with me, like saying three sentences.
Three sentences? Okay.
Yes.
Elevator speech.
Okay. I'll just pull like a quote or like something that I talked about in my talk. I talked about Theseus's ship, where essentially Theseus replaced planks in his ship every time like it wore out, and eventually his entire ship was all the planks were replaced. So would it be considered a new ship, or would it still be considered his ship? And I kind of related that to AI and how humanity is like adapting to it. And at what point AI reliance is going to surpass like our biological capabilities and like change us forever. So, yeah.
And where do you see it going, Arnav?
Wow.
Where do I see AI going? Well, I think it's very nuanced, but I think AI has both the power to help and like not help our civilization, but it's hard for me to tell. I think it's up for interpretation.
What a beautifully political answer.
So true.
That's because he knows Skynet is listening.
Well, thank you very much, Arnav. That was very well done. I can't wait to see what else you're going to be presenting for us one day. Thank you.
And so, congratulations again.
Thank you, Ashley.
Okay, so board approval, 7th grade class to Cupcake Sisters in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania for a field trip on March 14th and 15th. We have Greg Altmeyer, 2024 Middle School States Council for Social Studies annual conference in Annapolis on March 1st and March 2nd. So I guess, is that a retroactive?
No, those are the old ones. If you scroll to the very, very bottom, there's new ones for high school. I can read them off if you want me to.
Very, very, I am at the very, very bottom. Is there another bottom?
I'm at the very, very bottom.
The other very bottom. Okay, Ashley, why don't you read
it? Go ahead. You got
it. So I have, for high school, we have Prom is actually out of state this year. It's at the Mendenhall Inn in Mendenhall, Pennsylvania, just over the border. That is on May 2nd. We have BPA traveling to Chicago from May 10th to 14th. We have 23 students who qualified for nationals to go to BPA, an amazing amount. We have our annual Dorney Park trip in Allentown, PA, planned for June 6th. We have a CTE trip to the Hers Factory in Nottingham, Pennsylvania, planned for May 1st. We have the senior trip planned for April 12th to the 14th to the Kalahari and the Poconos in Pennsylvania. We have a biomedical science trip to the Mutter Museum in Philadelphia planned for April 25th. And Melissa Tracy was asked to be a guest speaker and represent our school on a national stage for a Green Our Planet brunch, which is in Las Vegas, Nevada on April 19th.
What was that last one? It was in Vegas for Melissa?
Vegas for Melissa Tracy on April 19th.
Melissa does Vegas. She does what for what?
April 19th, she's going to be a guest speaker for Green Our Planet, who has donated lots and lots of money to our hydroponic lab.
That's what I want, Green Our Planet. Okay, good. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Yeah. Sorry, okay. Do I hear a motion?
I move to approve the travel as presented.
No, I'll second.
10 seconds. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, those travel requests have been approved.
Thank you. I'll let them know.
You should have moved it.
What's that?
I can do that for the school, yeah.
Okay.
The suicide prevention policy, I think.
We could still have that on there. We're not done yet. So, yeah, let's do that in there. Because that's a quick one.
Should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have one more policy to review and approve.
So that was for the suicide prevention. I believe everybody received it. It's pretty boilerplate. It's reviewed and it's a well-vetted one. But we're required to have one, so we want to make sure that we're in compliance.
Yeah, and that's just something that has to be put up on our website, and we wanted to make sure that that we are compliant, as Mr. Pappas said.
Sure, if there are any.
Were there any questions about the suicide prevention policy? Any questions? Any questions? Okay, I'll hear a motion to approve that one and post it.
Move we approve the policy as presented and post it accordingly.
I'll second.
Thank you, Erin. Any discussion? Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion has been carried. Okay, we all done with all of our. That's it for now. Okay. Okay. So we're not going to go through any of the individual reports. Dr. Ioana, do you have anything you wanted to talk to us about? I know there's a lot of things going on in the Greek program.
There are. Good evening, everybody. I'm going to be very short, so I'm going to select only a couple of events that are coming, because it's in a few days, it's Greek Independence Day. So on Monday, we have the flag raising event in the plaza, in the Freedom Plaza, between 11:30 and 12:30. Everybody's welcome. We will have some students and families joining us there. And then we have the parade in the lower school Tuesday morning. And then we have the parade in Philadelphia in April 7. I will send tomorrow with a parent communication a sign up form for the parade in Philadelphia, for bus transportation, and also for people to sign up if they're coming or not, so we have a better count of the participants. And that's it. A reminder that I'm traveling to Greece next Wednesday for meetings with people from the Greek government, looking for support in multiple ways, not only one way, for the Hellenic Greek education in the States.
Bravo, good luck with that. Enjoy your trip and the program. I know you'll represent us very well.
Thank you, Mike.
Financials.
Sure. Come up. Almost space as well.
Right. I know the feel.
Good
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hoping to accomplish two items this evening. One is go over the monthly report for February 2024, and to also get approval for our fiber infrastructure upgrades. So let's start with the monthly report. Right, we're looking at the monthly finance report as of February 29th, 2024. Bonus day, leap year. Revenues collected to date are $46.7 million, or 101.6% of the preliminary budget. Revenues received during February are pretty normal for the cyclical point of the year. It's another month we've received $187,000 from Zions to offset the additional debt for this specific fiscal year with the bond refi to make it a net neutral move for us. And a majority of the $105,000 for donations to other revenue represented by a catch up with transportation revenue. On the expenditure side, expenses to date are $24.5 million and encumbrances of $440,000, representing 71% of the budget, which is the exact point we were at this point during the fiscal year last year. Some notes from this month. Melissa Tracy has secured a grant funding from I Can Do Great Things for $16,000 to continue enhancements to the Food Studies Lab. Great job, Melissa.
Great job, Melissa.
The final portion of the Christina School District settlement funds have been received in the local district transfers. Adjustments in volume variable programming will be explained in the final budget process next month. Preliminary planning for next school year has begun as over 1,100 students have applied through the choice system to OCS. As of March 18th, 349 students have accepted their invitation. Welcome, New Orleans.
Yay.
The golf outing fundraiser is June 17th. I know in the past we've had a very decent contingent from our board, and we hope to see as many of you out there as possible. If you're not able to golf and still want to contribute, you may. We're also looking for volunteers or just welcome greeters for the morning breakfast.
And where was it this year?
Innisfrone Golf Course.
Innisfrone.
Avengrove, PA. Probably about 20 minutes from here. 20.5. The intention is also for the school to have a K-5 summer camp. Information is expected to go out before the end of this month. The business plan has been developed, and we're in the process of hiring a coordinator for that civic department. To date, $1.42 million of expenses have been coded to federal funds out of the preliminarily budgeted $1.7 million. And on the capital side, a couple updates. SEG Fields has received comments on the exploratory plan submittal from Newcastle County this week, and they are addressing those as we speak. As we are now 60 days from construction date, biweekly calls are being scheduled with the contractor. The building number 27 design contractor, DCI, has completed a preliminary walkthrough of the building and area. Contracting is currently being reviewed for completion. High school front entrance project is now completed. And the high school anytime recently, you've seen that. Interior enclosure construction has begun, and the elevator shaft project is expected to be complete in May.
Hey.
And as previously mentioned, the fiber optic upgrade procurement has been completed for the campus-wide fiber optic upgrade. Shout out to Dino Harlan Beatties for taking the legwork on completely for that process. This will utilize federal funding to offset 50% of the costs and bring the needed network infrastructure to the new field area as well.
Thank you, Dino.
And that's everything for the February monthly report. Any questions?
Do I hear? I'll entertain a motion for the web report.
I move we accept the web report as presented.
In a second. Georgia seconds. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion carried. Thank you very much, Jeff.
You know, if you want to
present
about the fiber optic
Project. Here's a little overview. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
As we begin to plan for the field has been a brown area of internet coverage. We really don't have cameras out there watching what's happening. We don't have good Wi-Fi access. There isn't any infrastructure to kind of like have brought that out to the field. So as we improve the field and bring the field into the 21st century, and we're going to increase usage and people at the site and everything, we're going to have to bring internet access to the field. So we're going to need to bring fiber optics out there. So we're going to incur a cost to do fiber optics. Well, the federal government has a program for every school in the United States for telecommunication projects, where depending on your free and reduced percentage, okay, you are granted award money for that project. So currently, based off of what Odyssey has for students, we're eligible for up to $336,000 of reimbursements from the federal government at a 50% rate. If we were a 90% rate school, we would have then paid 10% of the project cost, and the federal government would have assumed the 90%. So we're a 50% school, which means we share the cost evenly, but we have to follow the procedures through this federal E-rate program, which means we have to write an RFP. We have to issue the RFP. We have to examine all the bids in a certain time frame, and there's certain dates that we have to match when the expenditures happen and when the expenditure work has to be done and payments are made. And the people who apply for the bids, write the bids, also have to be vetted by the federal government for the SPIN number to even allow to be bid on the process. So we engage an E-rate contractor that the state uses to help us write the proposal. We issued everything out. We had two people come to a walkthrough. We received one bid. That bid was Trium Electric Company that does a lot of work here and knows the ground really well. The proposal is to take the 30-plus year old fiber optics that we have running the buildings now from a 1 gigabit connection to a single mode fiber optic cable that will carry 10 gigabit per second, which will dramatically increase the speed between the server room and all the buildings on campus, and also bring fiber optic cables to an existing location DMARC underneath the grandstand so that we can then bring fiber optics around the field. And then this bid also includes bringing fiber optics to all the light poles so that we can put Wi-Fi cameras and we can put cameras and Wi-Fi access points and any kind of equipment that might need internet support around the field. So the project costs about $150,000. In order to award the bid, we have until the end of the week, close of business, to give Trium a letter saying you are awarded the bid, and we will issue a PO following signed contracts and stuff. But to get that $75,000 encumbered out of the capital improvement funds, we need the board to approve the $75,000 expense. And then we'll get the federal government to match that at $75,000 and pay the project. And we looked at just doing the fields, but it didn't make sense while they're out there to not do all the buildings and bring everybody up and reap the benefits of the cost. So we'll use $75,000 of our $336,000 expense. Next year, we may look at rewiring all of Building 27 and offsetting the same expense for wiring Building 27 with federal funds money. The last time we did this was in 2013 when we retrofitted Building 22, the very first building, and that whole wiring job, we tried to use federal funds. We successfully got some funds, but we didn't get as much as we could have. So using the consultant, we're guaranteed to kind of like really maximize those dollars. We can use the money for cabling, network switches, Wi-Fi access points, and that's about it. You can't, you know, air conditioning and kind of, you know, firewall projects and stuff like that, but like, you know, we can't use it to buy computers or Chromebooks for the school, unfortunately, for rooms.
So we have up to $336,000 available. The current project that you're talking about is about $150,000, of which $75,000 of that $336,000 will be used.
Right. So we'll still have
it. So it's pretty much it's guaranteed that we have that $336,000.
Right. Yep.
Okay. So it's just a matter of applying for it, so that we can apply that $75,000. And having the local match, of course. Yeah. As I just want to say, okay, we're going to get $100,000. We don't get it.
And if we're looking at a $50,000 cost for Building 27 to get all the wires and network connections up and running there, then we do another E-rate process, we get more bids, we pick us, we issue a bid, and then maybe we offset that cost with $25,000 from the federal government. We keep drawing down that $336.
How long do we have to?
It's usually a 5-year period that they award the federal government grants. So we've got a few years to use up that $336, and then in 5 years they'll pass another resolution and front load more money and everything and kind of get it renewed. But we for the past decade haven't used those funds to do projects. We weren't really doing an entire building all at once to kind of get that cost savings around, and we've been doing it by hand. But when it comes to fiber optics, it's a very specialized process. You have people who are certified to do it, and I don't have the manpower to pull fiber optic cable from Building 23 all the way down to Building 27. So,
volunteers.
It's not roofing.
I got an uncle with a ditch witch. No problem.
Does anybody have any questions? I know we got this earlier today, but does anybody have any questions about this?
You said that the grant is specifically for telecommunications and infrastructure. Since part of this project includes cameras, is there, does that telecommunications and infrastructure include security, or are there other grants that
there are other security grants that the state gives you for security, depending on how the school leverages them. We can use those funds to buy the cameras for the field.
So it offset the cost of just that portion.
Yeah. Got it. Right. So, but you know, we're still in the process of figuring out what cameras, what Wi-Fi access points, what audio system, you know, things like that. So we don't have an overall cost of what that would hit for the capital campaign. But at least the infrastructure part, we can use this money to offset the cost.
Okay.
And this will include the switches and core and everything else you'll need to interconnect?
It doesn't. Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, that has to, that's a part of the electrical contract that SCG has to kind of give us. And the switches we kind of have in place, so we're not going to eat too much of a cost. But the little plug to go from 1 gig to 10 gig of a Cisco is half the cost. 34 of those little devices is half the cost of this product.
Wow.
Just the technology. Phoenix.
Any other questions for Dino? Any other questions? Okay, motion.
I move we approve the fiber project as presented and the spending of the 75 grand.
I second.
Okay, we got a couple seconds. Good.
Sweet.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Motion carried. Yeah. Good job.
Well done.
You all done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay. That was the hard part. Wow. That's the longest meeting we've had in a long time. Okay. We're going to move on to committee reports. And I know Kaya is on. She asked if she could jump to the front of the line. Because Kaya, PTO.
Hi. Thank you. I appreciate that. And Mary, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yep.
Okay. All right, I just want to give a couple of updates for our fundraisers coming up real quick. We have the OCS skating party that is going to be on April 14th. It is a Sunday, which is not our usual night. It is from 5:45 until 8:45 p.m. And it is a K-12 event. It is an event where you're going to pay at the door for the tickets. We are not doing a pre-sale for this. We have our spring book fair, which is coming up April 22nd through April 30th, with our family night on April 25th from 3:30 until 6:30 p.m. Now, in previous years, we have coordinated with the Reading Under the Stars, which we are hoping to do again this year. It was brought to my attention today that the teacher that did the Reading Under the Stars is not with Odyssey. So I'll be looking into that. I'll get some more clarification on that information. Even if it means the PTO has to host that event as well, that is absolutely fine. But we'll have more details about that coming up in the next couple of weeks. We have the treats with special persons coming up. And K through second grade is going to be on May 7th. And tentative times are, sorry, I'm kind of losing my voice, is going to be 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And third through fifth grade is going to be on May 8th at the same time frame. And that is going to be where a child can bring a special person. In the past, that was donuts with dads and muffins with moms. But we've just kind of combined it for time and space on the field.
Pastries with parents. Love it.
Thank you. The guys and girls in ties and pearls, which was previously guys in ties and girls in pearls dance, is going to be held on May 11th, which is our traditional weekend, which is Mother's Day weekend. And we are going to start the dance at 5. We hold it in two intervals. The kindergarten through second grade usually goes first from 5 to about 7. And then third through fifth goes from about 7:30 to about 9:30. And again, the ticket sales will go out shortly. I'll send out a letter that entails all this information and the links to purchase those tickets. That dance is going to be at the Holy Trinity Greek Church Hall, like it is every year. And I just want to remind everybody, it is a formal dance. So we ask everybody to dress up in their best attire. We have Teacher Appreciation Week coming up. That is in May. I believe that's going to start for us on May 7th and go through May 10th. And I will have the details of that for the next meeting. We need to work a little bit closer to time to find out what we're going to do. It usually includes a snack cart, a breakfast, and a lunch. So we will work with the school to work out the details for that information and get that out to you guys as soon as we can. The last PTO meeting for this year will be tentatively, and I want to stress tentatively, on May 21st. And at that meeting, and Carrie's on the call with me as well, Carrie Norris, our treasurer, Carrie will be going over our finances at that time, going over the projects for the year, how much we brought in, how much went out, and our final numbers for the end of year that we will work with the school on a final project to spend the money on. And that is all the updates that I have. Do you have any questions?
Any questions? Kaya?
Yes.
PTO? Did I hear a question? Somebody say yes? I think that's it. I think you're off the hook, Kaya. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I think the only other committee we have is CBOC.
I confirmed that we had a forum meeting this month reviewing financials and e-card transactions. And see you next
time. And again, any volunteers for the CBOC, we love to have you. There's always opportunity. Good of the school. Well, I know I want to congratulate all the teachers, first of all, and then of course our Teacher of the Year, Melissa, for the great job of getting the grants and they're going to Vegas, and Arvon, and the great step up day too that the middle school had. I've heard so many great things about that. So hopefully we'll continue with the good, all our good projects. Anyone else have anything for good at the school? Board members? No?
Just want to echo all that congrats, especially the step up day. It was incredibly well executed.
Great. Okay. Well, that's all the business we have. We do have to go into an executive session. We have a couple things to review and then we will be done.
I move we go to executive session.
Thank you, Ken.
Seconded.
2 seconds. All in favor? Yes.
Aye. 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 All right.
And we're back and mute's off.
Okay. We had no discussion or votes were taken or nothing was decided in executive session.
And I think we have no more business to conduct. So if I hear a motion, I will see you all hopefully at the workshop on Friday. And I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second. I'll second.
Okay, we've got lots of seconds. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So do I. Motion not carried. We're done. If anybody doesn't want to, then that's fine. Okay.